Angry Eyes. Hello. Thank you very much for popping by. It's Russ, your friend here. Van Morrison, Billy Joel in a moment. A few more of your songs for the theatre as well. However, because we've got no Storyville tonight, we finished that last night, I'm going to give us, because like I say, I do need your help on this one, I'm going to give us a little bit longer than I normally do, because we have this little window of opportunity, of course. For Where in the World is Andy Mossack? Now, it'll be about 11:15, where we get the man on himself. Roving travel reporter, at his own expense, in brackets. We don't pay him for this. So he's here, there and everywhere. Last time we spoke to him, he was in France. And he was telling us just how nice the cheese is in Languedoc. And how lovely the wine is. He was there for like a big family do to celebrate an anniversary. And he was paying. Cheeky, aren't they, families? That'd have been puce. Hang on, Bet, you want me to pay for you? Why would I pay for you? I'd be quite happy. Just go away. Just me and my wife. I don't want to take everybody else. But he did Andy. I mean, it's a very nice, magnanimous gesture. So, yeah, so dipping into the cheeses and whatnot. He is somewhere else entirely. So it's time for clue number one. Betty's wearing shorts, I'll tell you that much. Here is the first clue, then. I am in a beautiful and officially bilingual coastal town, which lies on part of a historic peninsula once called History. It's best known for producing olive oil and white wine. Legend has it, the remains of the town's patron saint, Saint Euphemia, were miraculously rescued, together with her stone sarcophagus, from a shipwreck on the rocks of the town. And they lie today in the historic Baroque church named after her. Wow. So olive oil and white wine. Olive oil and white wine. I'm thinking Greece. I don't know why. I'm thinking Greece, one of the Greek islands, perhaps. Maybe the Greek mainland. Beautiful and official bilingual coastal town. Historic peninsula once called History. Olive oil and white wine. Saint Euphemia is the patron saint. And her remains were rescued with a sarcophagus from a shipwreck and lie inside a Baroque church in the town. That's historic. So where do you think he is? Athens. Although I'm sure that's a city rather than a town. It's Greek island for me. I may be wrong, though. 0345-303-3333 is the number. If you think you know where he is, perhaps you've been there and looked at the things he's describing. Now, there is another clue coming up just before 11. Here's Van the Man.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance.
Also turned up in there, but clue number two for Where in the World is Andy Mossack. Now, we had the first clue a half hour ago. Produces olive oil and white wine. It's a bilingual coastal town. Saint Euphemia is the town's patron saint. Some of her remains are in a historic Baroque church named after her in the middle of the town. Here is clue number two. The fashionable ties we all wear today originated from this country when in the 17th century, colourful knotted woven neck scarves were worn by the military as part of their uniform, and their scarves were subsequently named after them. They were called cravats. Right, where do they come from then? You might be surprised to know, I'm not much of a cravat wearer. Fashionable ties. Worn by the military, part of the uniform, scarves were named after them, the cravats. That's where he is, man himself in 20 minutes. 81333 and Russ, if you know where he is. Oh, it's a tough one this week. Real tough. These have all been ace so far. We've still got a wee bit of time. But I'm in the mood for some globetrotting. Last time we spoke to this man, we were in France when we were in Languedoc, sampling wine and beautiful cheeses, largely at his expense, of course, for the whole family. However, bit of a rare treat this, because we get to catch up with him. We had a couple of clues for Where in the World is this man, Andy Mossack. Good evening, Andy.
Hello, Russ. I can see you as a thespian with wearing a cravat.
Could you? Yeah, I could carry that smoking jacket.
Yes, a la Hancock. Didn't he used to do that?
I think he did. A frustrated actor. I like that. Now, we've had so many guesses and ideas here. And actually, this is one of those weeks, Andy, where you've pipped us, because we couldn't settle, or as my mother would say, we couldn't plump on a town, but I think we've plumped for a country. We're going for Croatia. But where, we don't know. So this week is the week that you've beaten us, my friend.
Hey, I know. It was a toughie, wasn't it?
It was. So where on earth are you?
Well, it is Croatia. Very good. And the thing is with Croatia, you know, everybody knows the holy trinity of Split, Zagreb and Dubrovnik, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is, if you go north Croatia, the beautiful coastline of Istria, and it's a beautiful little fishing town called Rovinja.
It's
Rovinja, and it's actually spelt Rovinj, but in Croat you don't pronounce the J, don't you know?
well, now, because this is a, as you said in the clues, this is, and actually lots of Croatia is, it's a melting pot of languages.
Oh, yeah, it is Italian, very heavily Italian influenced because of the Venetian Empire. And then the Habsburgs had a go at it, Romans before them. So everyone's had a go around here. But this part of Istria, which sort of goes a little bit from a bit of Italy, sort of Trieste, and then across Slovenia, and then most of it is in Croatia. It's fantastic because it's, as I mentioned, of course, I think it's the best olive oil in the world, apart from Crete. They're the
now,
only two
hang
places.
On a, hang on, this is a big thing to say, Andy.
It is.
The best olive oil in the world.
Yeah. Do you know, it doesn't matter where I go, when I travel, everybody says, oh, we have the best olive oil in the world, don't you know? And but Istria always has the best, I think, along with Crete, they're the two tops.
So why? But, what is it that they've got that most of the Mediterranean hasn't?
Well, if I'm honest, I particularly like a bit of a kick. You know, it's got to have a little that kind of... That burning sensation in the back of your throat.
Andy, I've got a tip for you. It's called booze. Try booze in place of olive. If you want a reliable kick and heat, booze is what you need.
It. Booze, okay. You try drinking olive oil, have a teaspoonful a day. Wonderful stuff. Anyway, but it's got some great wines too. They call it Malvasia here, which is white wine. Very, very nice. And it's a great coastline, actually. The Adriatic, fantastic. But Rovinja it's like stepping into a storybook here, you know. Colourful buildings, little twisty, narrow streets. It's really an authentic, lovely old town. And if you look it up, you'll see it's on this sort of... It's on a kind of a promontory out on the coastline. And I asked the guys here, you know, why is it shaped like this? He said it used to be an island back in the day. Can you imagine, like it's sort of 12th, 13th century, there was this completely separate island, and they were protected. Really? They were protected from the plague and from invaders and all kinds of things that went on, you know, during the mid, I suppose, the 16th century, and then all of a sudden in the 18th century, somebody came up with this bright idea of joining it up to the mainland. And they sort of looked and they said, well, you know, the plague's gone. We seem to be pretty good here, so pretty self-sufficient. Yeah, all right then. And can you imagine the 1700s actually joining an island to the mainland?
What a feat of engineering that must be.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think they got wind of all the olive oil on the mainland and they wanted in.
They said, yeah, we're going to have some of that, thanks. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it happened. And so there you go. And it's now incredible. Part of the Croatian coastline, yeah. But beautiful place. And the nice thing, I think, as well, it never sort of got touched by any of the Balkan conflict. So, you know, it's kind of just left as it was. So it's a lovely part of the world.
So I imagine that this is the kind of place you could go and, like you say, a lot of different influences down the years from different cultures have been in there. It is largely unscathed by any troubles.
Yeah.
So historically... There must be, you know, there must be elements of all of these different cultures left behind in the customs, the food, the languages, the religion, the buildings, the architecture.
Absolutely, yeah. All of that. Tick all those boxes. In fact, you know, Croatian culture is a lot of Italian influence. So you get pasta, a lot of pizza and pasta and Italian cooking, for sure. But you get this sort of Eastern European feel too. And I don't know if you know much about the former Yugoslavia, but Tito sort of... I think most people in Yugoslavia will say that they were free to come and go much more than, say, anybody in the East. So it's got that sort of more Western feel to it. And okay. I must say, Croatians are particularly lovely people. They all speak very, very good English. And the weather, of course, is just epic. It's just wonderful. And what a time to come here, because tomorrow is the great festival of Saint Euphemia herself. Only happens once a year, and here we are tomorrow.
Just so happens you're there. Now, is this in your usual way, Andy? Is it just so happens again that you've walked into a Michelin-starred restaurant that happened to need a judge or something?
Oh, lovely. Yeah, if only. No, it was just pure fluke this time, I say. They've just told me. I went up to see the great lady herself who's in this sarcophagus, and they wow. are going to open it. They only open it one day a year.
They open it?
They open it to see this embalmed body, if you like, and they pay their respects to the great lady. Yeah.
Good Lord.
So it's a huge festival tomorrow. Everybody's out in the streets and all that kind of thing. It's a wonderful thing.
Wow.
And listen to this. If you love the food... you do like a bit of a scoff, don't you?
Well, it's just every hey? Just three times a day, Andy.
Okay, well, listen to this. There's this lovely dish called a peca, P-E-C-A, and it's a stew okay. they have with vegetables and meat or fish. And they put it in this metal pot and they cover it in hot coals and ash Ooh. For a good few hours. And so it's kind of very, very, what I would call, which my mother used to say, wet.
Right.
And beautiful stew, but you have to eat it with what they call a red wine soup. And it's kind of an Istrian speciality here. You get Terran red wine, which is called Terran wine, some honey, stay with me here.
I'm with you.
Pepper, olive oil and bread. So you put honey in soup, you know, pepper, olive oil and bread. They mix it all up and they drink it with this stew. So it's wow. got to be done.
Well, that's, you know, I can see you then in my mind's eye tomorrow tucking into a nice pecker.
Yes, I'm going to, as the actor said, yes, I'm going to be doing that for sure, yeah. And I've had a great time, and there's been a lot of British people here, and the Kunar, because they're not part of the Eurozone yet, they are in the EU in Croatia, okay. but they have still have their own money, and the Kunar is about 9 to the pound, so it's still
does that go a long way?
Value.
Does that go yeah. a long way when you're looking to eat and sleep and all that kind of stuff? You can get some,
yeah.
Economy wise, good for yeah. the English traveller.
I'd say it's excellent. Yeah, it's not quite as good as it was because of the current situation, but okay. it's still very good. I mean, you get a beer for a couple of quid, and a nice. Decent meal for 12 or 13 pounds.
Wow.
Very nice, yeah.
And how'd you get there? Is it one of the kind of places that you can get to it by land, of course, but maybe the nicer way to do it is probably to sail in, or their ferries? I would imagine they are.
Well, actually, you can go low-cost airlines, go to Pula, which is the local airport here. But I came into Trieste, actually, in Italy, northeast Italy. And the nice thing is you drive across from Trieste to here. It takes just over maybe an hour and a quarter, but you go through Slovenia. So you go from Italy to Slovenia, through Slovenia into Croatia. So you're actually covering Gorgeous. Three countries in about, you know, 60, 70 minutes. So that's quite a nice drive, and it's all the way along the coast. So it's really beautiful. Oh, wow. So I had a great time.
And but, you know, more and more people are going to Croatia now, aren't they? I mean, it is in terms of wider groups of holidaymakers, it is a growth market.
It is an up-and-coming, no question about it. It's perfectly clean. And do you know what they do here? They've got, obviously, the Adriatic, but they filter the Adriatic here on an industrial scale every day. So the water is spotless. It's absolutely wow. beautiful. Yeah, who would have thought, eh?
Wow.
It's beautifully done. You just sit there, and they've got these lovely fishing boats called, what are they called? Batana. And they're flat-bottom boats, because it's, you know, because of the rocks and everything around here, it's shallow. So they use these Batanar boats, and they're really pretty little things and very authentic. And but I must say, there is one thing which I've done, which is a perfect sign of how good Croatia is becoming. There's this incredible hotel, actually, called the Loni, L-O-N-E, but it's in the shape of a cruise ship. And it's just phenomenal the way they've just put it into the kind of the coastline rock. You have this thing that looks exactly like a huge cruise ship, and it's kind of the new face of Croatia. And all the way along this coastline are some spectacular places. Wow. And you would think something that used to be, you know, an Eastern European country or a socialist country, they're really getting their act together now on the holiday making front. So okay. Good luck.
Well, excellent stuff. Well, how long are you there till? You've got the feast day tomorrow, of course. You've got the celebration.
Well, I'm coming home tomorrow, actually. Oh. Tomorrow evening, sadly. But although my wife, every time I say that, my wife says, "Why do you say you're sadly coming home?"
He'll be joyously coming home.
Joyously coming home, darling. Joyously coming home. Yes,
and
yes.
I know you're always interested, Andy, but I've managed to find it here. A twin town of Rovigno.
It's got to be Italy, surely.
There are four twin towns, three of which are in Italy, but one is Leonberg in Germany.
Really?
There you have it. See, separated at birth, the pair of them, weren't they? have a wonderful day, Andy. Thanks. Nice to talk to you.
I'll speak to you next week.
Okay. Well, I'll get to the foot of our stairs. That's where he was. He was in Croatia, Rovigno. Excellent. Another one to put on the to-do list, I feel. The hot